MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Wandile Shalobo. He's chief economist at the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa. Wandile, I appreciate the time. Lots of news you've been writing around the signing of a China-Africa framework agreement. Help us understand it at a top level. What is this? I mean, in essence, as I understand, it's about tariffs. But I mean, are we getting zero tariffs into China? What's the story?
The story here, Simon, begins in China, when they had the China-Africa summit that typically takes place there. The leadership in China came out and said, look, we will now be looking at extending tariff-free access for a range of goods coming from the African continent. And of course, they began rolling this, which they call China-Africa Framework Agreement. And each country has to assess and see if it signs in. And of course, it excluded one country, which is our neighbors in Eswatini, but all a range of other African countries included into this. It is not a free trade agreement per se, because that falls under a different aspect as prescribed by the WTO. But here, it's really China's approach to deepen their trade with the African continent. You could think of it as almost their AGOA version of approach.
That was going to be my point. It kind of sounds like AGOA. And the process now is to decide what goods will form part of this agreement. It's not a lock-in. It's not everything. We've got to sort of negotiate what will be included.
Absolutely. It's a sort of an AGOA framework, but of course, it doesn't carry all of the generosity of AGOA, because remember, AGOA was a unilateral one-way approach where the U.S. extended to Africa, but without deep demands from the African continent. My understanding is that after some time, China has begun also thinking about the reciprocity approach of saying, you have to do something for us as well. And I think then under that context, it changes the approach a bit. But I still think that as South Africa, as we engage with it, there are certain industries that certainly will benefit, like the farmers and the others. But there are others that we need to be careful in this engagement, the auto industry and the broader manufacturing, because that carries some risks. And lastly, most importantly, is really the question of thinking about how should we be moving to something that is more stable, which is a bilateral free trade agreement with, of course, a protection in the sensitive industries that we have.
And that's a great point. I mean, that's the longer term goal. In the immediate, I mean, with the tariffs coming out of the US, we are still sitting at 30%, notwithstanding AGOA having been renewed for another year. And there's some T's and C's of products that aren't part of that 30%. But China is a market that must be of interest to a lot of our economy, particularly to farmers, to agriculture.
I mean, China is a country that is of interest to us. I mean, it's our top trading partner. So when you are easing on tariff, you basically then are assessing if there could be possibilities for other industries to enter there. The only difference is that our manufacturing, as well as our auto industry, perhaps is not as cost effective as what you see in China for a whole range of issues, which is why for me, I think towns like East London, Port Elizabeth, part of Pretoria that have auto industry, we need to be thoughtful as to how we protect those. But certainly for the farmers, which is the industry that I work in, China is one of the markets that is important. I mean, when you think about the global agricultural importers, China is the second largest agricultural importer. They spend, Simon, over $218 billion. Importing food products each year. And think about it, we hit a record last year of $15 billion. Into China, we have less than a billion in that over $218 billion. So we want to see more market access there. And I think with lower tariffs and easing up phytosanitary barriers, we will then be able to see better participation in the Chinese market.
What are some of the agri sectors that are potential for China? You know, I mean, we've got, for example, you know, we've got sectors all over. I know a lot of our abalone, for example, goes to Asia. We've got a wine sector. We've got the sheep and the wool. What are potential sectors that might interest China for it?
I mean, right now, there are some industries that are dependent on China. When you think about the wool farmers in the Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, Free State, about 70% of our wool exports go to China. Citrus, we are starting to enter China. Wine, we are there, but we're facing tariffs of between 14 and 20%. Macadamia, we are hit by 12% tariffs. And of course, abalone also facing some tariffs. The core thing then is about if we can lower those tariffs or even bring them to zero, we begin then to be competitive vis-a-vis our competitors like Australia, our friends down there in Peru and Chile. And when I look at our basket of products, really, Simon, the entire fruit basket in South Africa, the meat side, the grains, because I say this because when I look at what China buys in that $218 billion they spend each year, they buy from the world market stuff that South Africa produces. So fruit, meat and grains industries and wine stands to benefit if we are able to secure better tariff levels there.
Let's hope we get them. You mentioned meat, foot and mouth disease. The minister has announced that we are manufacturing the vaccine for it. It's still, my sense is, it's a huge task still ahead, a long way to go, but we are making progress and a vaccine is a big step. Is that a fair comment?
I mean, I think the core thing, Simon, really to first underscore here, which I keep repeating everywhere when I have an opportunity, is that the red meat and dairy products are safe for consumption.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Both South Africans must continue on that. The reason they are temporarily blocked in some of the export markets is because of how this disease is categorized. And of course, each country tries to protect so that it doesn't go there. It's not because of dangers of consumption. In terms of controlling it in South Africa, I mean, right now, we will be receiving some of the vaccines more from March onwards. We already received some decent volumes. Mm-hmm. And I think that the minute we are able to vaccinate with speed at the high risk areas. Here, I'm talking about the Natal Midlands area, Free State, Gauteng and Northwest, then we will make inroads. But I think, Simon, we will begin to see much more better progress from March onwards.
Okay, it's moving forward and that's the important thing. The other important thing, it is safe for human consumption. Can't stress that enough. And last question, we saw some horror rains in January up in Limpopo and in Mpumalanga. And I imagine that must be absolutely tragic for farmers in those regions. I mean, they are literally flooded out. But more broadly, how have the rains been across our farmlands so far this season?
Could you raise that point, Simon? Because there, I'm worried about the quality of the crop that we will get, particularly citrus and the others. And this is a crop that is usually for export markets. And I think that if the quality is not as good, what we will end up with is a glut in the domestic market, which then will bring the prices down. Of course, that is always good for a consumer from a consumer price inflation aspect. But of course, for profitability, as well as the journey that we have been in, of powering through on the export side, that may begin to be an issue. But we will really get a clearer understanding of the impact on the fruit quality from around about mid-April onwards. But we were fortunate that by the time it rains, we had already harvested the potatoes and some of the vegetables. So the key issue is really about the quality of the fruit in those areas. But I would say it's not as critical, but it's something that is of concern.
And potatoes is good news because potato prices were going crazy at a while. They come down nicely, but we need potatoes. They're a staple.
Absolutely.
They're a staple for our diet. Wandile Shilobo, Chief Economist, Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.